Okay, Chevra. What we are trying to do today is a teeny bit of housekeeping. Housekeeping in the sense of we finished Kufsadi Aleph and Rosh Adam Bahashtona, but there's a few side issues that come up in terms of Re'iyah Bahashtona that we haven't addressed, and because they come up on a fairly regular basis, as a matter of halacha, so it's important to address them. So the first issue I want to discuss with you today is the question of kinuach. Kinuach is when a woman, after being matelas meraglayim, if she wipes herself and she sees dam in that situation, so what is the halacha? Is she tameya or not? Now, this question can be divided into a few different parts. The first part is, do we have to worry about that it's a potential shiloh of a d'oraisa? Like we saw in the Piskei Tshuva and Sif in Kuf Pei Gimel, way at the beginning, that meiraklayim is one of the questions, one of the things that might mask hargasha. So perhaps it's a shiloh on a d'oraisa. If it's a shiloh on a d'oraisa, obviously we have to be more machmir than we would be otherwise. So that's one issue that has to be addressed, the potential d'oraisa. So the achronim all speak about this question. If you look in the Chavos Das, the last Chavos Das, or the Chavos Das in Siman Kuf Tzadi Sif Katan Aleph, the first paragraph, the last paragraph of the Chavos Das in Siman Kuf Tzadi Sif Katan Aleph. I'm getting confused here, first and last. Life is hard. But the Chavos Das basically maintains that only if you see dam samuch lahatolas mei raglayim with the shear that's quoted in Sif Nun Aleph, only then is it tamei amid oraisa. Now the shear in Sif Nun Aleph is basically a very immediate shear. No? The Shin Sif Nun Aleph is Kincha Atma Be'ed Shebiyada Tekef L'Metzias Hadam. Right? That you're holding the cloth, and right after Tashmish Hamita, let's say, you wipe yourself right away, and you're holding the cloth during Tashmish Hamita, that's the case of Tekef. Now, if that's a situation, obviously our Kinuach Be'me Raglayim does not count as Tekef, no? Most people do not use the bathroom when they're already holding the tissue to wipe themselves. When you use the bathroom, generally the way it works now is that you use the bathroom and then you reach to the thing of toilet paper and you pull. So I don't think the takeoff shear would be relevant. But if you continue in the Chavos Das, the Chavos Das maintains that the takeoff shear is considered osyom in the Gemara. But then the shear right afterwards is still going to be enough to make it a suffik d'oraisa that would be chayiv and asham taloi. And he says in many cases that shear we might have by the kinuach. The lav dafka shear de osyom, zok the Chavos Das, rak afilu shear de achar zman, de chayeves asham taloi, gam kein tmeya mi suffik d'oraisa. But if it's achar achar, then it's going to be okay. Now, using the Chavos Das's assumption that if it's not immediate, still it's a suffik d'oraisa, so at what point do we assume that, right, we still have to be choshish for a suffik d'oraisa? Because there's going to be some point in time that it is achar achar, that it's so far away, and then we don't have to be choshish for a suffik d'oraisa at all. Barry, what are you telling us?
Why was it again? I thought we were saying that if it's after the zman, it's not a problem.
If it's takeif, so then it's vaday d'oraisa. Zok the Chavos Das, right? Even if it's not takeif, even if you're not holding the cloth, but you do it achar zman, a little bit achar zman, that's going to be chayiv and asham toloy. But if it's achar achar, so then it's going to be only a kesem. Now, where do I draw the line between takeif and achar achar? Again, unclear, no? When did I draw the line between achar and achar achar, I should say? Takeif, we know, but takeif we don't have. But where do we draw the line? Different shiurim are quoted in the poskim. I would use an expression that all the shirim are kind of made up. Rabbi Neuberger didn't like it when I used the word made up. He says you could say arbitrary. So, okay, we'll say arbitrary. But the Shevet HaLevi seems to contradict himself. The Shevet HaLevi in Simon Kuf Tzadi Os Yud says it's a minute. Meaning to say you have to be choshish that it's a suffik d'oraisa within a minute after urinating. He says a sheer daka. Now the Shevet HaLevi elsewhere in Kuf Pei Dalet Sif Tes on the Shah Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, he says that the shear is Reva Ochatzi Daka, either 15 seconds or 30 seconds. My impression is that none of these shearim are what we use. We basically follow what Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that the only time we're worried is if it's Mamish Mechuma Labesa, if she uses the bathroom and she has to run out because he says, she speaks out that the baby is crying or there's some food that you left on the stove. So you run out. Now, in almost no case does that really come up. So in terms of the Sufik D'Oraisa issue, L'cha'ora, when you wipe yourself after using the bathroom, I don't think that issue really comes up. The Sufik D'Oraisa, again, if you use the Shevet HaLevi's definition, it does come up, but I don't think that is done. That's what? Rav Moshe says that it's, we're worried about a Shiloh of a D'Oraisa if she is rushing out like the baby is crying or that there's some food burning. That means that usually people use the bathroom and then they wait for a second and they wipe. Why do they wait for a second to wipe? Because you want to make sure that all the trickles, everything is done, right, without being too gross about it. But if you mamish run out and you just wipe yourself on the way out, that's the only time there's going to be a Shiloh of a D'Oraisa, according to Rav Moshe. I think that is something that is really not shchiach. Again, if you look in that book, the Chaku Zman, on page Kuf Chaf Beis, he gives you many different shiurim of poskim on this issue. The Badei HaShulchan on page Kuf Pei Tes deals with this issue as well, and like, we're not so surprised that he's inclined to be machmir a little bit. Let's continue. So assuming that we don't have a shayla of d'oraisa of a potential hargashas mei raglayim, so then we have to deal with shayla of ksamim. The ksamim on the toilet paper with the kinuach, what's the status over there? And this shayla is divided up into a few different parts. The status of the toilet paper itself, whether it's mekabel tuma or not. Pesachei Tshuva, of course, had a machlokas between the Noda Bihuda and the Chassam Sofer about whether paper is mekabel tuma. And it seems that our paper, Bizmaneinu, everyone assumes is not mekabel tuma, for one of two reasons. Either we hold like the Chassam Sofer, that even paper that is made from old rags, but it's mamish panim chadoshos volakan, it's all ground down and then put back together, so it's not going to be mekabel tuma. And moreover, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that anything that is disposable is by definition not mekabel tuma. We spoke about that. And Rav Moshe writes that when it comes to paper, since the paper, there's no kibos that's on the paper, no one's going to rinse off and reuse their toilet paper. So the fact is that that is considered something that for sure is eino mekabel tuma. But just being eino mekabel tuma might not solve the problem completely. Obviously, we have to contend with the Sidrei Tahara, who says if I have a dover she'eino mekabel tuma that is hu amar, on a dover that is mekabel tuma, so there's a possibility of tumas masa, and then it would be a problem. But what we pointed out is that the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagrees with that Sidrei Tahara. Shulchan Aruch Harav contends that bedikos have to be chashash of a da'iraisa, because he says the bedika cloth is not mekabel tuma because it's cotton and it's too small to be a beged to be mekabel tuma, so therefore it's not mekabel tuma. So the only reason the bedik would be a problem is because it's a shayla of a d'oraisa. Now, if the Sidrei Tahara would be correct, obviously a bedik would be a chashash of a d'oraisa anyway, no? Because of the maimed issue. And we pointed out that the sugya mashtisa, the pashtus is against the Sidrei Tahara, because in the mashtisa they are supporting the warp and the woof with the Klei Ha'argim. So if you assume that there is a din of Maimir, so it would be a problem. The fact is we do not hold like that Sidre Tahara. But there is another issue or two to address. And that is the issue that maybe we should be machmir, that even a very small shear, let's say you hold like the Sidre Tahara, the Five of Kohen is inclined that the Sidre Tahara is not ultimately, is not completely rejected. So maybe we hold like the Sidre Tahara. If you hold like the Sidre Tahara, what's the shear over here? So do I assume that the Oso Makom is Baduk Eitzel Macholas, that there's no real chash of lice in that area? And therefore, what? And therefore I don't get the full shear of a Grisva Ode? So that seems to be a reasonable type of assumption that we know. The Gemara says, Oso Makom Baduk Eitzel Macholas. However, there are two ways out of this. There's a few lines in the Chavos Das who says that when Oso Makom is Baduk Eitzel Macholas, that only means the Oso Makom Bifnim. But anything in the external area of the body is not Baduk Eitzel Macholas. If that's the case, so then we still do have the shear of a gris. Moreover, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the Tshuva that the derech of people is that when they wipe themselves, they wipe a broader area rather than just the immediate oso makom. If that's the case, so then the shear gris should still be a relevant shear, even though, again, in the Badi HaShochan, he's inclined to be machmir on this question also. Finally, there's the question that is addressed in the Tshuvas of the Cheshev HaEfod of Dayim Padua in London, and many others pick up on this. The Knei Bosem, I think the Knei Bosem was Reb Meir Brandsdorfer, who was like one of the Dayanim in the Badatz Ede Charedes. I once saw him do a bris milah on Shabbos, and I asked him after, how come he was metaltel the Izemel Shalmila after the bris? Isn't it a Shail of Muksa? So he says, you think this is the only bris I'm doing today? I'm like, okay, gotcha. This is Meir Brandsdorfer. He was dying in the Badatzei de Charedes. So in the Knei Bosem and in the Cheshev HaEfod, they deal with the question that maybe the kinuach is not judged like a dam that is found on a dover that is not makabel tuma, but rather we view it like it's a dam that was found on the guf. Because how exactly did this dam end up on the cloth? It ended up from kinuach. That means that I wipe myself. So I take something that was on the guf and now I transfer it to a tissue. No? Ah, interesting. I take it from the guf and I transfer it to the tissue. So why don't I judge it like it's a kesem al haguf? And kesem al haguf, we saw in Shulchan Aruch, Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, what the shear is. Maybe we have to be more machmir on it because it's nidon ki kesem al haguf. And this became like the big topic of conversation in all the sermon that came on the last 10 years, whether we have to be choshesh for this or not. Lamaisa, I think we're not inclined to be choshesh for this. In the Mishmeres HaTahara, in Rabbi Karp Sefer, he has a diuk just from the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah says Haroa Kesem. He assumes that Roa means that's Nidon based on where I see it. I find it on the toilet paper. I don't find it on my body. I know that it came from my body, but that's not enough. It has to be Raya Kesem. It has to be based on where I see it. Now it happens that in the Cheshev HaEfod himself, the Cheshev HaEfod thinks that Re'iyah doesn't mean seeing with your eye. Re'iyah means Havana. We actually spoke about this in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel. What does Re'iyah mean in terms of Hargasha? Does Re'iyah mean that you see the dam? Probably not. Probably doesn't mean that you have to see the dam. Doesn't mean that you know that you're becoming a nida, right? Re'iyas halev. That was the lashon of the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch. So he says it that way, and I think that would be a good taina. Lamaisa. It would seem that if you know it's coming from the guf, so how come we're not more machmir on these ksamim? It should be a din like kesem shebe guf, and then I don't treat it like kesem on davar shein lemekabel tuma, and all bets are off. So that is a taina that's worth thinking about. Lamaisa, all of the poskim say that it's against that Shulchan Aruch Harav. That same Shulchan Aruch Harav who contends at the beginning of Kuf Pei Gimel that bedikos have to be da'iraisa. Why? Because since the cloth itself is in the makabel tuma, right? Why else would it be tummy? So we said, oh, it's a raya against the Sidre Tahara. Great. But it's also a raya against the Cheshev HaEfod. No? Because when you think about it, when I do a bedikah, where's the dam coming from? It's coming from inside my body, no? If we're assuming that has the halachos of the original place where it used to be, so then, right? Then of course it's going to be a problem. Now, would that make it a problem on the level of Da'iraisa? I don't know, but it wouldn't be considered a kesem on a dover that's not makabel tumah because it's too small. In the Shulchan Aruch Rav's question, he asks, I shouldn't it be too small? He doesn't entertain that it's nidon ke kesem shebeguf. No? Let's say it's like kesem shebeguf. So that, I think, is a strong raya against this cheshev ha'efod. No saf al kach. As a matter of halacha, we probably pass him a ikar hadin that even ksam shabagufa are nidon with the shear of the regular shear kesem. Now, we wanted to say that maybe you use the smaller gris, right? Or maybe you use the machola shos manenu. But the fact is, the achrenim seem to say that the Rambam shita, that kosher who is metame, does not really make it la halacha. Yeah. Eliran?
If it's a
Riyas Dam, so that's a suffix in the
Gemara. Meaning some, then she wouldn't be
Tveya
because it's
Magabes Sarim.
I know it's a little wacky.
The Gemara have a suffix about whether the also Makom Shebi Isha is Nidon Kabes Asasarim or Kabalua. It's like a Daf Memalef or something in the Gemara, no?
Whether it's Balu or whether it's Magabes Sarim, either way, she's not.
Well, who says Beis HaSarim would be exempted from Beis HaSarim is like those parts of the body where, which are accessible, but they're not completely external.
Magabes Sarim is not called Maga.
Oh, so you're saying because there's no Tumas Maga.
So unless you tie a Midin Masa of a Kesa, meaning I'm talking about purely Midin Sam. She could be tied because she's Anita now, but if you're talking just Midin,
I understand. I mean, it requires a lot of thought. It requires a lot of thought. Interesting. We should try to look into that question a bit. It's cute. Okay, let's go on. Maybe, though, there's another reason to Taina that the shear on toilet paper is the larger shear, the regular shear of a gris. Remember, we wanted to say maybe it's a smaller shear because it's like a kesem shebeguf, right? And we wanted to say maybe it's a smaller shear because also makom baduk. But I have a different cheshbon why. And this I saw in the Sefer Atzei Hasodeh. He wants to say as follows. In Shulchan Aruch, in Si'ifim Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, we encounter the halachos of aid, no? There's Eid HaBoduk, Eid She'ein HaBoduk, and Eid HaMoluchloch. They're basically three different categories of Eidim. Eid HaBoduk, so the din is, she's going to be Tameya with a Kol Shehu. Eid She'ein HaBoduk, so you require a Gris V'Oid. And if you have an Eid HaMoluchloch, if it's Mamish dirty, so then she's Tahora. Even though she's doing a bedikah with it, that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Seifim Lamedan, Lamedhei, Lamedvav, etc. Okay, well known. Now, my toilet paper, my tissue paper, is it Eid HaBaduk or is it Eid She'ein HaBaduk? Right, now, what does it take to make something Eid HaBaduk? So obviously, if I checked it out beforehand, that's an Eid HaBaduk, right? Okay. We pask in Bezman Heinu, even though Shulchan Aruch in Se'if, or the way to end, Se'if Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, Sif Mem Vav, even though Shulchan Aruch and Sif Mem Vav talks about like washing clothing, that maybe you don't get all stains out, but the Shevet HaLevi and all the Achrenim assume that anything that was washed makes it like an Eid HaBoduk, no? By definition, we do laundry, it becomes really clean, we use detergent, that's what the Shevet HaLevi says. Someone told me that Rabbi Willig is machmer on this. He says that you shouldn't wash your bedika cloths because it's not going to have the din of an Eid HaBaduk once you wash it. And I have to speak to him, or maybe someone should speak to him about it. The Shevet HaLevi writes clearly that the way we do laundry, bezmanenu, it becomes Eid HaBaduk afterwards. Right? So Eid HaBadak means that you know it's clean. Right? When we do laundry, we know stuff is clean. So far, so good. What's an Eid She'ein HaBadak? So an Eid She'ein HaBadak, Eid Beinoni, that's discussed in Paiskim, there's a machlokas between the Sidrei Tahara and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Is an Eid She'ein HaBadak something that was checked and then left in an area that was not really Meshumar? You checked it at one time. Or do I assume that it is something that was never really checked, but I have no reyus, I have no reason to assume that it became dirty? Now, why am I kvetching about this? Because it might be relevant for tissues and toilet paper, bisman hazeh, no? Toilet paper comes in different forms. If the toilet paper is cheap Israeli toilet paper that's made from recycled paper, so if you look at the stuff, there are going to be lots of red dots on it, no? That stuff for sure is like an Eid Beinoni, and then for sure the shear is Yosemi Kigris, Kigris Ba'od. Because even if I do a bedika with that, a bedika with an Eid She'ein Badak, the shear is Kigris Ba'od, right? Beferish and Shulchan Aruch. What about regular toilet paper? So it depends. How long has the toilet paper been out of, how long has the roll been there? How long has it been out of the box? If you have kids and they drag it all the way through the house all the time, it could be that this stuff becomes like an Eid She'ein HaBadak. Right? In other words, assuming like the Alter Rebbe, that the definition of Eid HaBadak doesn't require Bedika beforehand, but it's just that there's no Reyesa on it, so I think our stuff is considered Eid HaBadak. Like the Sidrei Tahara, though, it's not an Eid HaBadak, our toilet paper, because there was no bedika that was done on it beforehand. You never knew for sure that it was white. Im Kenim HaDevarim, we could argue that you always need a Gris Va'od on a Kinuach question, because it's like Eid Beinoni, Eid She'ein HaBadak. If you look in the Badei HaShulchan, he has like a whole essay about this topic on page Kuf Pei Tes in the Badei HaShulchan, and then in the Miluim in the back, right? He asks this question. He says, maybe you should need, he's machmir, right? That shadows on toilet paper, right? Even a tiny bit, if it looks like dam, tummy. He's machmir on it. But he then asks, it's Eicha Inoy Baduk. So he has an interesting sferi. He quotes in Sif Katan Shin Chavah from the Beis Meir, that the Beis Meir says that Eicha Inoy Baduk is only if it's like a real chance that you could attribute it. Over here, the fresh blood that comes out doesn't look anything like those red spots that appear on the toilet tissue. So therefore, it has a din of Eid HaBadak for this, and therefore, he's inclined that the shear be small. But one could make a case that the shear would be a larger shear. I have to admit, this was like the first shiloh I got when I was married. When the first shiloh? Yeah, maybe the first one. And when I first got married, so right after Sheva Brachas, we went to Eretz Yisrael, and we stayed in Gris. And the people have been in Gris know that, like, in those days, BMT used to be in Gris. So the standard approach was that when you got a shaliach, you'd go to Rabbi Polakoff from BMT. So he wasn't around then. So we tried to bring the shaliach up to Rabbi Neubert. We had, like, the toilet paper shaliach. It was, like, the first shaliach. And I told my wife, I know it's okay. And she's like, why? I said, we don't tell you the Sidrei Tahara. It's like, Eino Mekabel Tumah, great. So she's like, you know what? Let's ask. First time, we're newly married, let's ask. I don't trust you enough yet. I don't think I had smicha yet. I didn't have smicha yet, so that's why she didn't trust me. So she's like, okay, let's ask. So we tried to go to Rav Neubert, who was up the hill. But Rav Neubert was well that day or something, he wasn't around, so he went to some other Rav and buy it for Gan. The Rav looks at him and goes, it is blood to me. I'm like, what do you mean? So he's like, Tamea, why are you arguing with me? Go away. It was like a very weird conversation. I'm like shocked. And I go back and tell my wife, like, and what really bothered me is that, like, I'm going to lose all my credibility for my wife. I don't care so much about the shiloh per se. It's a shiloh, but, like, that really bothered me. And I think, honestly, what that Rav was saying, I don't think he necessarily held, like, the shiloh maybe, but if you look at a lot of these svarim, they assume that if you have a shiloh on kinuach, and it's within a few seconds after it's a shiloh v'doi raisa, potentially within the 15 seconds if you use that marker, it's a shaloh v'doraisa, and if it looks mamish like blood in the Sefer Chakuzman, so he is machmir on when it looks mamish within blood, within like some larger shear than Rav Moshe's immediate shear that we assume in this yeshiva. So I think that's really where it came from. But lamaisa, it's Israeli toilet paper. And Israeli toilet paper is cheap stuff that they give in gross. So it should be Eichein L'Bodok. And it should automatically be the shear of Kigris V'od. So I really didn't understand that kula. But if what Bible Cohen is saying is that you can't attribute those tiny little stains, and that Sefer Atzei HaSod, that he's inclined that the tiny stains that appear in the toilet paper makes it Eichein L'Bodok, and therefore you could be making into a Kigris V'od, But if Reb Fivel Cohen is right, so then I hear what that Rav, like thinking back 20 years ago, whatever it was, so I now understand a little bit more what that Rav on the top of the hill was saying. The walk is so dreadful. That's a different conversation. Okay. So that's the first issue that we wanted to discuss in terms of the Shaila of terms of Shal of Kinuach. Now, I should point out that by Eid She'en Obodok, when we say they have a shear of a Gris V'od, there is a machloikas between the Chassam Sefer, quoted in the Pesach Chuvas Sifkat and Mem, and the Chuvas Avnei Tzedek, quoted in all the more modern Svarim. The Chassam Sofer in Sifkat and Mem says that when we say you get the shear of Gris V'od, you get the shear, the smaller macholas shear, right? Basically, what the Chassam Sofer is saying is akin to what we said way back from the Lechem B'Simwa, which is that we know that there's a shailov on the Dairais over here, because I did a bedika with an Eichein L'Bodok. In the real case, we did a bedika, not our Kinuach case, but a shailov when it's a Dairais for real. So Sam Sofer says, you only have the Macholas Shelzmanenu. Because since a shailov of Dairais has to be a reasonable attribution, a reasonable attribution is only the type of bugs that we have. However, the Avnei Tzedek is Mekel, along the lines of the fact that any shaila today that we have, it's like a low gozru. The chazal were low gozru on pachos mikay gris va'od. That's probably the pshat in that Avnei Tzedek. L'maisa, Chacham Ovadia on page Tafnun is mekel like the Avnei Tzedek. Now, did we solve all the problems of kinuach? So not necessarily. The Sefer Atzei HaSodeh, again, this is all chazara from stuff that we've encountered, just trying to put it together. Sefer Atzei HaSodeh has the following argument. He says, since we know that Bizman HaZeh, women don't really have hargasha anymore, no? Or they say they don't have hargasha. So maybe I have to be worried that in fact she had a hargasha and she just missed it. Something along those lines. And therefore, Zuck the Sefer Atzei HaSodeh, any kesem that you see, you have to be choshesh. Maybe there was hargasha. And as such, you should do a bedika after you find a kesem. Or after you find dam by the kinuach, do a bedika right away. Because since there is a chshash that maybe it was dam d'oraisa, dam b'hargash, and you just missed it. So we want the motzi midei v'achshash ayidei abedika. This is the practice. If you look in some of the modern svarim, they'll say that whenever you have a kesem, the first thing you should do is a bedika. No? If you look in Rabbi Moshe David Tendler's Paradeis Rimonim, right, he's a Rosh Yeshiva here, right, Rabbi Tendler. So in Rabbi Tendler's, usually when I speak about the Rosh Yeshiva, I'm not referring to him, I don't speak to Rabbi Tendler that often, but in Rabbi Tendler's Paradeis Rimon, he says, you see a kesem, do a bedika right away. Now what's the cheshbon to do a bedika right away? So there's a few possible cheshbonos. The Atzei HaSodeh argues that the reason to do a bedika right away is in line with the way he understands hargasha bizman hazeh. Let's chazer. We women today don't really have hargasha. Elamai, what we assume, is if a woman has a normal flow, that's called a hargasha. That's what we said from Rabbi Willing, and the Sefer Atzei HaSodeh is the same idea. Now, how do I know if it's a normal flow or not? So, he has the argument, I think we said this over in the Shir, his argument is if there is hemshech hari'iyah, right, if it continues, so then that shows that's a normal flow. So if I have a kesem, I have a shaila, maybe it's going to become a re'iyah regila, And if it becomes Iri Gila, maybe then you're going to be Tumeyam in HaTorah. It's not the pshat that you had a Hagosh and you missed it, because those sensations no one has. But maybe it will develop into a full-fledged Ri'iya that is Dino Kahargasha. So therefore, do a Bedika. And you do the Bedika to show that the Ri'iya is not continuing. That's his argument. Now, the difficulty with this argument, and the difficulty with everyone who's Matzricha Bedika after finding a Kesem, is Lo Re'inu. No Posek has required a Bedika in these situations. That something that is such a common shayla, you would have some posek throughout Jewish history who'd say, do a bedika when you find the kesem. No one said it. But one svara to require bedika is what Atzei Hasada says. Another svara to require a bedika after finding a kesem is found in the Sefer Chidushim Ubi'urim. That's Rav Greineman from Bnei Brak. Right? So he argues that if I find a kesem on my underwear, let's say, I have to be worried. Maybe it came out with a full-fledged Hargasha because of Hargashas Meiraglayim. Did I urinate at any time in the process? If I did, I have to be Choshesh. Now, the Achreinim, no one seems to really hold of this. Rav Greinim and Chumra, in the Kshuvas Cheshev HaEifo, there's a nice article in the Beis Yitzchak, volume 39, by one of the guys in the yeshiva then, who dealt with this question. When you have a kesem, do you have to do a bedika right after? So he quotes the lashon of the Kshuvas Cheshev HaEifod, where he deals with this chumra of Rav Greinim, and he says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Dalet says that David HaMelech argues that Yodayim Elochlochos B'dam Shafir B'shal Yelatahi Arishal Baila. Right now, I'm more dirty because I want to make a woman tahora. This person who's master of bedika, what's your objective over here? Your objective is to make a tummy, no, not to make a tahar. Effectively, and this is a point that Rabbi Forst makes in his book on page 183, Rabbi Forst's lashon is, there's nothing to gain, and there's a lot to lose. Because if I have a kesem, and the kesem is tahar, I'm fine. Elamai what? I'm going to do a bedika now. The bedika is just giving me an opportunity to become tameh. So don't do bedikas. And the general assumption is not to do bedikas. No one really holds like this. Rabbi Tenler, the Chidushim, Biurim. No one holds like that. However, if you look in Rabbi Forrest's Sefer, he writes that the logic is somewhat reasonable. In other words, the logic over here is that I can't just close my eyes. There's something weird going on. I saw a kesem. Maybe I'm tameh. I have a way of being mevarer. Do a bedika. Why shouldn't I do a bedika? So, lemesa, we don't do a bedika, and we tell you bedafka not to do a bedika, but the svara behind this is a little bit difficult. Another issue that comes up when you find the kesem in general is that it says in certain svarim that you should, in the Sefer Pre-Tahara, which is what they give the chasanim in Lakewood. So it says, whenever you see a kesem, what you should do is separate from your wife for 24 hours to find out what's going on. No? You ever heard this one? Rabbi Willick says this. Rabbi Sabolowski has it in his book. 24 hours. Where did they get 24 hours? So I would say it's made up. Rabbi Neuberger would give me a Muslim and say, I should say it's arbitrary. Fine. Got it. Where does 24 hours come from? So, in Rabbi Forst's Sefer, on page, I don't remember, 272, he basically argues as follows. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush. Many times a woman sees spotting, she spots before the full period comes. Do you have to separate from the spotting? Now, this shayla comes up in a few different ways. Separating from the time of the spotting could be that I'm separating because the spotting itself is like a vesas haguf that indicate there's an impending period, so I should separate out the halachos of vestos. But there might be another reason to separate, which is that maybe the spotting is considered tchilas hara'iya. Rav Moshe in one shuvan chayla gimel simon nun aleph and another shuvan chayla gimel simon mem vav, Rav Moshe sounds like you have to separate because of tchilas hara'iya, and even if it's a kesem smaller than a gris, you should separate because it's tchilas hara'iya. But, Zakt Rav Moshe, it's not tchilas hara'iya if 24 hours passes between the kesem and the ra'iya. because that's too far removed. That's what he has in Chelek Musim Nanal. So that's really where the 24 hours comes from. Now, Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, Rav Moshe assumes that if you spat before the Re'ias Dam, and then you get your period afterwards, so the Ona, the Veses, that you calculate is from the spotting. That's what Rav Moshe assumes. But Rav Moshe has rejected La Halacha. La Halacha, we don't follow the Rav Moshe. So La Halacha, we assume that you always calculate from the actual flow, not from the spotting. If that's the case, if I calculate from the actual flow, so we're really ignoring the spotting, so this 24-hour does not really... It holds water according to Rav Moshe, but doesn't seem to hold water according to other poskim. You had a comment, Eliran?
Yeah. What would be the reason for Rav Moshe to say wait 24 hours?
So Rav Moshe...
Yeah,
so again, there is a Rashi on Daf Nun Gimel that Rashi says that Ksamim can make you into a Zovah Gedoyla to be Chayev as a carbon. And everyone like jumps up and down and spits one of nickels. What are you talking about? How's a Kesem combined to Re'iyah? So one can make a whole fancy lumdis that a Kesem does combine to Re'iyah. If you have a Kesem right before Re'iyah, it's all the Zobrazach. And then perhaps you could become a Zobrazach. Maybe that's the pshat. We wanted to say way back when that maybe the Ksamim that combines to become a Zobrazach Gedoyla means Ksamim after the Re'iyah. Maybe that's the pshat in the Rashi. And the idea is that you don't need Hargasha every day. Once the Tchilas Hariyah was Hayyidei Hargasha, you don't need Hargasha each day of the Hemshech Hariyah. That's what we said over from the Megillah Sefer, as a Pshat Net Rashi. But you could learn that Rashi this way, and there, in the Sugya, then 24 hours comes up. That's really what's based on. Okay. Now, so there are poskim who assume that there's a chiyuv to do bedika after a kesem. That's the chidushim of biurim, and that's the sefer atzei hasodeh. There's a chiyuv to do bedika. That seems to be rejected. And in Rav Vosner's Shiurei Shevet HaLevi, though, he maintains, it's on page Kuf Samach Gimel, that since the poskim don't say you're chayiv to do a bedika, so obviously not chayiv, but he writes it's min haro'oi v'nachon la livdok, that when you get a kesem, you should do a bedika. If the kesem is larger than the gris on the dover tzavua, on the dover she'inu makabel tuma, so he says, you should do a bedika, it's ro'oi, but it's not obligatory. Rabbi Forst points out in that footnote that I referred to earlier, Rabbi Forst says that he thinks that the Shevet HaLevi is assuming that we still paskin that kol yad hamar ben livdok ben noshim harezim meshubach. That does make it to Shulchan Aruch, both in Siman Kuf Peidala and Siman Kuf Tzadivav. Right? The Gemara says that the more bedikos you do, the better it is. Many achreinim assume that this is not true anymore. But the Shevet HaLevi is assuming, no, you should do it. Why? The same type of idea. Try to be mevarer if you can. So therefore, the Shevet HaLevi does recommend, if you see a large kesem on the Dover Tzavua or Dover Sheinu Mekabel Tum, that you should do a bedika. Once again, I don't think, or I know that this is not standard practice. Our approach is that Bizman Hazeh, Kol Yad Hamar Belivdok, Ein Zeh Meshubach. It's really not proper. Now, where does the 24-hour thing come from, the 24-hour separation? But if it's not based on this Rav Moshe, where does it come from? So, it might come from just a pashat svara. If you can tell a couple not to separate, so the couple's going to sleep together. And then there's a concern that there's going to end up being some dam on the aver of the husband. And that would be something that would cause real problems. So therefore we say, you know what, separate, so that this issue doesn't come up. But what Rabbi Neuberger told me, which I think is very reasonable, is that if you just see one kesem, there's no need to separate. One kesem is one event in one time. He doesn't think there's reason to really separate. But if it's an ongoing situation, very often when the woman is having difficulty adjusting to the pill, so you stain on and on and on again, no? These things happen. So in those cases, so then we're really worried that maybe the couple will be together and you'll see dam on the Aver, so therefore, that's why you should separate. Now, of course, this is very difficult for couples, no? One of the couples often would say something like, I'd prefer to be on Nida rather than to be in this limbo land, that sometimes you have difficulty adjusting to the pill and it takes a while and you're staining and it could go on for weeks, no? And it's like very frustrating. So sometimes you say, okay, just, you know, throw the pack away and become a full-fledged Nida. Right? You could do that. Is there another Eitzah, though? Is there another Eitzah? Right, the idea of separating in these cases is because we're worried that maybe the dam will end up on his Aver. So that would mean, by the way, that separating is only not to have Tashmish Hamita. You can hug and kiss. Even though hugging and kissing, if you're a Nida, is a real Isra Dai Raisa, but we're not saying that you're a Nida. You're for sure not a Nida. Everything you've been seeing is Ksamim. Just don't have Tashmish Hamita because we're worried that you'll end up with dam on you yourself, right? That's the basic judgment for this. Not bad. So after Moshe Sternbach, I just noticed it today, in Chelek Dalet of Tshuvas V'Hanogel Simen Reish, Moshe Sternbach says, you know what? He thinks maybe the Eitzah is just do a Bedika before Tashmish. Think about it. If you're in one of these situations that the pill isn't taking, right, and you're staining, and it's very difficult for a couple. Now, in some ways, it's harder for a couple sometimes to be able to have chibuk v'nishuk but not have tashmish hamita. It's easier if like everything is out. Now, this is why I don't understand modern Orthodox Jews on a certain level, because it's easier to do nothing than to do something but not all the way. Right? I think that is borne out by lots of evidence. If that's the case, so Zakir Moshe Sternbach, just do a bedika before Tashmish Hamita. And I think that's a very good Eitzah, no? Because what are you worried about? That you'll have Tashmish Hamita and you'll end up becoming a Nida? Right? Yeah, that's a serious concern. And that, by the way, psychologically, that can be very difficult. You know, if you find Dam and Eiver, that can be very difficult for people. So do a bedika before Tashmish Hamita. If you become a Nida, Tak, you become a Nida. If not, not. But you do have that option. I think this is something that I'm going to start advising couples for now. This 24-hour separation period, again, it's not really, it's arbitrary. The idea is that you want to know that the dam won't come out if you have Tashmish Hamita. Right? There is a concern that, the way Rav Moshe Sternbach says that, obviously, like, the rechem is loose, and that's why some dam is coming out. So, if you can have Tashmish Hamita, it might come out on you. Okay, fine. Is it 24 hours exactly? It could be not. It could be, you know. But whatever a reasonable amount of time is, a judgment call. So then, I think that's the idea of separating from, not from every kesem, but separating when you have an ongoing type of issue. Yeah?
So, I was going to say, if you're Moshe Sternbach's eight to do a bedika before Tashmish, wouldn't that up the chances of her becoming a Nida versus just waiting out 24 hours?
It does, but it doesn't. In other words, if you're in a situation that's been weeks since you've been able to be together, so, like, I could hear advising a couple, you know what, it's up to you guys.
But let's say in between cases, it's not one, it's not 2 weeks, a couple days.
So a couple of days, so you could wait it out in most cases, but sometimes people just find this waiting very far. The shilas of staining on the pill are meisim b'chol yom. Basically, the birth control pills used to have a much higher dosage of hormones, which kept the blood back, and there was no staining. What happened was that there were longitudinal studies that in the non-Jewish world out there, so when you're on birth control from the time you're, let's say, 13 until you're 40, right? So there is a marked increase of ovarian cancer. So they said, oh gosh, this is a serious issue. Let's decrease the level of hormones in the birth control pills, which is great. It still works as birth control, but because it's a lower level of hormones, so that's why you stain. This is what happens with kalas often when they start staining before the wedding, and like you get these panicked calls, oh my gosh, like I'm staining before the wedding. So like you go to these doctors who give you the super duper stopper pills, right? They come in different forms. There's complete progesterone pills. There's also injections that you can go for. There are things like, or you could just go for an older formulation of birth control, which will actually stop it, assuming that your body reacts to it, which in most cases it does. There's also a slight increased risk of blood clotting from certain birth control pills. No, I actually had a case of a woman who became a choloshiyish b'satana from taking birth control pills. It can happen. It's not a completely risk-free thing. It's extremely rare with the lower dosages, but it can happen. Okay. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go on. The last issue I want to talk about, again, so we spoke about a kesem, whether the kesem is mechayev a bedika, whether it's a good idea to do a bedika, and even if you don't do a bedika, which I think is what we assume, then the issue of like separating comes up, and we try to give some sort of guidelines in terms of the separating. Now, by the way, this means also that if you know why the staining happened, like there are certain pills that you take exactly at a certain time every day, and if you mess up the timing, it can cause a little bit of staining, but then everything will be rectified when you go back to it beforehand. If you know that situation, so then separation for sure is not necessary. Right? Again, you still have to worry about potentially seeing Dan B'Shas Tash B'Shamita. That's the other issue that we focused on. Fine. Let's say a kesem gets lost. Nevar ha-kesem. So the Chochma Sodom in Ka Kuf Yud Gimel Os Chav Tes has... The Chochmas Adam basically says that he thinks Nevar HaKesem, you could be Mekel. Why is that? He says, usually I have to be Machmir if I have a Suffik on the Kesem. I'm not sure, let's say, if it is red or not, if I have a Suffik. So I have to be Machmir, because they used to have these Zayin Samim on them that they could be Machmir al HaKesem to find out. Today we don't have it. So for us today, it's a Suffik Chesaron Yediyah. So for us, you have to be machmir. However, once the kesem is lost, so then it's not al suffik chesaron yediyah per se, no, because the suffik chesaron yediyah is a pshat that like someone perhaps would be able to theoretically be mevarer what it is. Now, no one can be mevarer because it's lost. So in that case, the Chochmas Adam says that you can be mekel. So when the kesem is lost, it blibes a suffix to Rabbanon Lahakel, Chochmas Adam is Mekel. If you read the Chochmas Adam, do me a favor, read it, tell me if I'm right, Kuf Yud Gimel Os Chav Tes. The Chochmas Adam, I think, is Mekel on both types of shilas by a suffix kesem. A suffix kesem could be a suffix based on the color, or it could be a suffix based on the size. I think if you read the Chochmas Adam carefully, he's saying in both cases we are going to be Mekel as suffix to Rabbanon Lahakel. Why? Because right now it's no longer Safek Chesaron Yediyah. In Rabbi Forst's Sefer on page 180, when he deals with this, he puts the Chochmas Adam together with Rebbe Kiva Eger. Rebbe Kiva Eger on the Shach Sivchot and Samach Aleph, Rebbe Kiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch, the end of Sivchot Gimel, assumes that if it's Nevar, it remains a Safek Chesaron Yediyah. Meaning to say, I had a kesem, and then I can't paskin on it, or I don't know what it is. Why? Because I don't have the Zayin Samim on him anymore. And then it gets lost. Since at one point in time, it was a Safek Chesaron Yediyah, Zok Rebbe Kiva Eger remains a Safek Chesaron Yediyah, and you have to be machmir kesem shenevad if the Safek is in the color. Because suffix in the color, or sfekos in the color, are going to be a suffix chesaron yediyah based on the zayin samamanim that we lost the tradition of. But a suffix on size, and you could be mekel. That's what Rebbe Kiva Eger holds. Rabbi Forst, for some reason, I think, read the footnote, I think Rabbi Forst is saying that the Chochmas Adam is saying the same as Rebbe Kiva Eger, but I don't think that's really what the Chochmas Adam is saying. I really don't think that's what the Chochmas Adam is saying. Yeah. So it is. So in Tzadiches, right, we have the din of Nishbach, when it's a suffix Rabban Mahakal. So Nishbach, we're Mekel on. But what about if it was a suffix Hasarin Yediyah? If it was Safek Pasuk Yedi in one point, and then it's Nishbach, so what's, so Rebbe Kivega would be Machmir in that case also, once, right? I think so. And I think that's precisely what he's saying over here. And he's Mitzayin that discussion in the Shach and the Taz and Simon Sadiches, right at the beginning, yeah. So that's the issue of Safek, of the Safek on the Summon. Now it happens that the Taurus Hashem Sifkat Mem Zayin clearly argues in Reb Kivega, and he's make on any suffix on the Ksamim. And I think that's how we paskin. If you look in the Shevet Halevi, he writes that the Derech of Morei Hora'ah is that any suffix on the Kesem you're going to be Mekal on, and we don't assume this Cheshbon of Rebbe Kiva Eger that if it used to be a suffix Chesaron Yediyah, you still have to be Machmir. What's interesting to note, though, is that there is a Diyuk in the Chochmas Adam. He's speaking about a case of Nevad Kodem Shera'ah HaChacham, that you lost the Kesem before the Chacham saw it. The impression that you get from the Chachmas Adam's presentation is that if the Chacham himself had a suffix and then it got lost, so then you'd be Machmir. I've been trying to think of what the Svara for that is. These Shilas can happen, right? These Shilas can happen. Nevad HaKesem, it can happen. Lamais, I think we're going to be Mekel. If the Chacham himself loses it, the Pashtus in the Chachmas Adam is that you should be Machmir. However, there's another Cheshbin over here that the main Nida has. The main Nida is Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's quoted in all the Svarim, and that cheshbon is that we simply follow Rov. 90-95% of the shilas that Rabbanim get are Tahar, no? Rav! It's going to be Tahar. The main need actually says a fakirat. He says most shilas that a Chacham gets, right, shilas in color, most colors are going to be close to red, so it's going to be Tame. I don't know what his Balabatim are showing him. But Lamaisa, right, Hachush Meir, that most shilas are tahar. So much so, Rabbi Sabolovsky once told me, I once had a shila, not about Nevad HaKesem, but a shila about Nevad Eid HaBadika, no? And I had a couple from my shul, they moved away from the community, they were living in an area there was no local rabbi, so they used to FedEx me their Nida shilas. Like, okay, it works. Like, some people like to take pictures of it on the phones. So I'm not into that at all, because the color, especially if it's like a dacistic issue with the color, you can't really tell what resolution they're using. It's too complicated. So you can't tell. Lameisa, the Kesem, the Eid Badika got lost in the mail. What happened was they mailed it to, I don't remember exactly, to the wrong address. It ended up coming like 3 weeks later. It was like one of those situations. Okay, whatever, what are you going to do? So, what do you do in these shayos? So, there, I don't have the kula of Safik Rabban Lahakka by Nevar HaKesem, and the Pashas I should be Machmir. So, I spoke to both Rabbi Neuberger and Rabbi Sabolovsky about that shayla, about when the Eid HaBadika got lost. Rabbi Neuberger told me that what I should do is go to a painter's website and look at lots of different colors and say, did it look like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like give her like 15 different alternatives. Right? The Gemara says, and we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that Isha is nemenes to say, Kazera Isi. Right? I saw exactly that color. So that's what Rabbi Neuberger suggested. Okay, interesting suggestion. Rabbi Sabolovsky was inclined, right? He was like entertaining the idea that maybe based on the Svarah, the main Nida that you could be making. In other words, since we know that Rav Shailas, now again, this might depend on the particular woman. It happens that this woman, most Shailas that she would send me would be okay. But sometimes you have women who have a very good Tfisa, and like every single Shaila they send, right, is either Tameh or very, very borderline to Tameh, no? So, but someone that Rav Shailas are going to be okay, maybe you could shtel on just a simple Rav and assume that it could be okay for that reason. I don't know if Rabbi Sabolovsky, I don't remember if he was saying lahalacha or he was just like being mefalpa on the question about when the Kesem is lost, what to do. But excuse me, when the Eid HaBadika is lost, what to do. But that's the last issue I wanted to discuss with you today. So, thank you for listening. Have a good Shabbos. Next week in your session, we're going to learn Kesefes. And my plan is, okay, not to surprise you too much, but to give you a bechina, not a bedika, a bechina on Simanim, Kuf Pei Gimel, Tzadi, Kuf Tzadi Aleph, and Kuf Pei Ches, right after Thanksgiving. That's the plan. So whatever we finish before Thanksgiving, right, we'll do, and then afterwards we'll have Chazara, and then we'll have a Bechina, and life will be grand. Okay, Yashikash.